Good evening. It is a pleasure and a joy to be with you all here this evening. I know I've said that many times before, but it's very much true. I'm very blessed to be able to say that each and every one of you are a blessing to be around, an encouragement, and I can confidently say that there is, having studied Proverbs a lot lately, there's a lot of iron in this room on which we can sharpen each other, on which I have been sharpened, and it is a great blessing to be able to say so. A great blessing from our Lord, our God. This evening, we're going to continue in our series over the book of Proverbs. This is now part 10, looking at the second part of Proverbs chapter 30, the words of Agur. What have been the words of Agur so far? Well, we've seen that Agur is a example of searching scripture out. Before that, we looked at Proverbs, the first part, chapters 1 through 9. We saw what wisdom is, why we need to seek wisdom. And then we looked at the remaining chapters, chapters 10 all the way through 29, where we kind of did a real brief look at different aspects of wisdom that we apply to our everyday lives in everything, from work to school to family to our lives in the church in so many more cases. We saw wisdom applied. And we've spent more time in Proverbs chapter 30 and 31 because it's not just guidelines on living a wise life. It is that, but it's also a response to living a wise life. Once you have lived a wise life, once you've been living this life according to the Word of God, according to His will, what happens? And that is where we came to Proverbs chapter 30, where it states that these are the words of Agur. And there's some speculation on who Agur is, but we can knowingly and confidently say that Agur is a wise man. He's a man who searches Scripture for answers, and he is a humble man. We saw in the first 9 verses of chapter 30 that there is a great deal of humility, being content, and understanding that the Word of God is the perfect Word of God. And that's a response to wisdom, not just how to live wisdom. The more we grow in wisdom, the more we grow in humility. Because the more we understand the nature of God, the perfect nature of His Word, and the more we understand that we can be content with the many blessings that God has given us each and every day. And that's where we continue in Proverbs chapter 30, where we will pick up in verse 10. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 10 reads, "Do not slander a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be held guilty." What can we say about this? It's very simple, to guard the tongue. Now, is it as simple in practice? No, it's very hard to do. We're to not gossip. We're to be careful how we speak, what we speak about, and who we speak to. In Proverbs, the use of the mouth, whether for good or bad, is mentioned around 117 times. In 31 chapters, 117 times is a lot. And it just goes to show the importance of the tongue, the importance of our words. They have great impact. They have great meaning. They are essential to our daily lives. We won't turn there, but in James, we won't have it up on the screen, but in James chapter 3, verses 3 through 13, we'll read that. James 3, beginning in verse 3, it states, "If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. That's the importance of the tongue. The tongue is essential. It shows who we are aligned to. Are we aligned to the word of God? Are we aligned to his will, to goodness and righteousness and holiness? Or are we aligned to a world of slander, hate, and sin? A Jewish rabbi once said that words are singularly the most powerful force available to humanity. We can choose to use this force constructively with words of encouragement or destructively using words of despair. Words have energy and power with the ability to help, to heal, to hinder, to hurt, to harm, to humiliate, and to humble. There's a lot of power in our words. And that is why it's so essential that we look at what we say, that we guard what we say, that we're careful about what we say, because it has such a great impact on our lives and on the lives of all those who are around us. Continuing on in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11, it reads, "There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. There are those who are clean in their own eyes, but are not washed of their filth. There are those, how lofty are their eyes, how high their eyelids lift. There are those whose teeth are swords, whose fangs are knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, the needy from among mankind." Beware of a proud and ungrateful generation. Now, this is not speaking about a certain group of people. It's not speaking about a certain generation, a certain ethnicity, a certain type of people, but merely about those who don't live according to the Word of God. It's about talking about those who dishonor their parents, those who are self-righteous and yet unclean, those who are arrogant, and those who are oppressive and devouring. Think of a very similar passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading verses 1 through 5. It states, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people." Now, Scripture states to avoid such people. We see here in Proverbs that these people exist. They are wicked people. How do we know to avoid them if we don't know how to identify them? The only way we can identify them is to grow more aligned to the Word of God, to understand Scripture more. Wisdom calls us to a life completely different than the ways of the world. It's very evident to see wickedness when we are aligned with the Word of God. It is easy to identify when we are living a wise life. Wisdom brings about humility, but foolishness brings about pride. That which is light will be better able to identify that which is dark. And that's why we can know that we live according to wisdom and not according to folly when we follow the Word of God. Wisdom brings awareness. And we'll come to that point here in just a little bit. Continuing on in Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse 15, it reads, "The leech has two daughters, give and give. Three things are never satisfied, four never say enough. Sheol, the barren womb, the land never satisfied with water, and the fire that never says enough." Now, this framework that we see here, and we'll see a lot of it here in a little bit, there are three things, yet there are four still. That framework is what we looked at previously, is called a numerical proverb. It means it's a very specific list, but it's not exhaustive. These aren't all the things that are never satisfied. These aren't all the things that never say enough. What else might never be satisfied? Perhaps it's those who dishonor their parents, as we just read. Those who are self-righteous and yet unclean. Those who are arrogant and oppressive and devouring. Those also are never satisfied in many ways. Wisdom brings awareness. And we can look at many things in the world, from a fire to a land never satisfied with water, to Sheol to the barren womb. We can look at these things within creation, and see God's handiwork and compare it to the principles we see within Scripture to grow in knowledge and in understanding. To grow in an understanding of God's excellence within His creation. And we'll come back to this idea here in just a minute when we look at the last part of this chapter. Verse 17 reads, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures." This is pretty gruesome, and it's pretty self-explanatory. Respect and obey your father and mother. Obey them, and above all, obey your heavenly Father. That's what this verse speaks of. That we must do that, otherwise there is pain down the road. And skipping on to verse 20, we'll skip verses 18 and 19. We'll look at that here in just a minute. Verse 20 reads, "This is the way of an adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wrong." And so here we return to the foolish woman. The foolish woman who is introduced to us in Proverbs chapter between 5 and 7. A foolish woman who lives against the ways of God, who lives according to the flesh, according to her own desires. We are introduced to her once again. Wisdom brings awareness. And the things that the world may say are not wrong, we are able to determine are wrong according to the truth, which is the Word of God, Scripture, given to us. There are many things in this world, many sins, many devices that people obey, that they follow, that they live in their lives that are said aren't wrong, much like this woman stating that I have done no wrong, but really are. And we can say, absolutely, adultery is wrong. Absolutely, murder is wrong. Absolutely, lying is wrong. And a number of other things that seem like really, really bad wrongs. But what about something like laziness? Or ignorance? Or wasting what God has given to us in our time, in our possessions, in our abilities? Pursuing possessions over the Lord. There are so many ways that we can fall into the patterns that are in this world, that are in this sinful world, into those ways. And only through wisdom can we recognize that those are wrong, that those are sinful. Only through the Word of God can we recognize evil for what it is. It is the light that brings light to the darkness. Even though the world and many who we are around may say that it's not wrong, it's not that bad. It's not that serious. Sure, maybe it's just this season. Well, you can sin for now. You'll get better later. That is wrong. That is sinful. And the Word of God clearly states that. And if we are to live a wise life, and when we live a wise life, we identify that for what it really is, that being sin. And now we've talked about this idea that wisdom brings awareness. We've talked about it a number of times so far, and I want to look at it further. In the sense of creation, that wisdom brings awareness. And so we'll look at the remainder of Proverbs chapter 30, going back to verse 18. Proverbs 30, verses 18 through 19. "Three things are too wonderful for me, four I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a virgin." Continuing on in verse 21. "Under three things the earth trembles. Under four it cannot bear up. A slave when he becomes king. And a fool when he is filled with food. An unloved woman when she gets a husband. And a maidservant when she displaces her mistress." Four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are not a strong, are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs. The locusts have no king, yet all of them march in rank. The lizard you can take in your hands, yet it is in kings' palaces. Three things are stately in their tread. Four are stately in their stride. The lion, which is mightiest among beasts, and does not turn back before any. The strutting rooster, the he-goat, and a king whose army is with him." Again, we see this pattern in the Proverbs where things are described alluding to wisdom. Things that we see in nature, things that we see around us. And again, this is a very specific list, but it's not exclusive. These aren't the only things that we can see God's wisdom in. We can see it all around us. You can see it in the beauty of the sunset as the rays come through the clouds. You can see it as a bug comes through the door. And I know that sounds crazy, but you can see wisdom in God's creation. We see that here, even with a lizard and a rooster. The beauty of the Lord can be seen in the small and little things, as wisdom is seen in the fingerprints of God. As it is written, as Proverbs is written, wisdom is an interesting thing described almost as a, I've heard it best described as a thread that flows through creation. That you can use this attribute of God that was present at the day of creation, as we've seen that where wisdom was with God as an attribute of God when God designed the earth. And we can see that around us. And we can use that wisdom, use the wisdom found in the Word of God, to be able to use that in our day-to-day lives. And I wondered as I looked on this and I thought on this, the things that we see around us, what do we think of when we see them? Maybe you see something and you think, I want that. Or, oh, that'd be cool to have. That's neat. But how often does what we see point us to God in our day-to-day lives? Not the sin that's in the world, but the natural things that we see around us. This picture up here on the screen is a picture that I took the last time me and my family were in Ruidoso. And this is the first ever time that I went on a hike all by myself and very badly misjudged how much water you need to bring on a hike. 9 hours later, with one water bottle, get back to our cabin. And as I was going up this mountain, I get to the top, and I was thinking, what would it be like once I got to the top as I was going up? Would I think how cool it was? Would I think, oh, look at what I've accomplished. I've done this hike all by myself. It wasn't the case. When you get up to the top and you're exhausted and you have nothing and you don't even know if you're going to make it and you just see the beauty of God's creation for what it is, all you think is glory, glory, glory to God on high. Glory be to His name. In the beauty of the trees and the wind rushing through the grass, we see the awe in God's almighty creation. Romans 1:20 states, "For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." This is what it means to say that wisdom brings awareness to all that's around us. We can see the evil that's in the world. We can see sin that's in the world. We can see lies and deceptions when we're aligned with the wisdom from the Word of God. And we can also see peace and harmony and beauty in the things that God has blessed us with. That is the beauty of living a wise life. From situations with coworkers and family and classmates, all the way to a bird on your porch or a rooster strutting in the dirt, we can see the beauty of God's creation and give praise to His name and use that as an opportunity to grow closer to Him and to point others to Him. Proverbs 30, verses 32 through 33 reads, "If you have been foolish, exalting yourself, or if you have been devising evil, put your hand on your mouth. For pressing milk produces curds, pressing the nose produces blood, and pressing anger produces strife. Restrain pride and anger before it escalates." We had just looked at all these beautiful things that you can see God's wisdom in. And I wonder if we see all the things that are around us and we think, I've got it good. I have been blessed. And we certainly should think that. But are we thinking that pointing to God? Or are we thinking that pointing to ourselves? Pointing to our own accomplishments, if you will. One of the more interesting quotes that I have read in the past over words states that we are masters of the unsaid words, but slaves of those we let slip out. Think before you speak. It states in this again in verse 33, "For pressing milk produces curds, pressing the nose produces blood, and pressing anger produces strife." If you want a fight, if you want contention, if you want strife, you can find it. You can make it. But we are to be a people who are a people of unity, a people unified under the word of God, not a people of strife. How many times did this fail for the people in Scripture? How many times did David, Absalom, Rehoboam, and the Pharisees, and so many more say things and do things acting foolishly that caused grief to themselves and to all those around them? It caused strife and in many cases produced blood. This is Proverbs 30. These are the words of Agur, a man living in wisdom, having and currently living in a life of wisdom, assesses things. How should we live? This is how. We're to guard our tongue. We're to honor our father and mother. We're to beware of a proud and ungrateful generation, including ourselves, that we may not grow in pride and ungratefulness. And we are to understand that wisdom brings awareness. But what does wisdom bring awareness to? It brings awareness to God's creation, awareness to God himself, awareness to the need and the fear, the need for fear and reverence, awareness to the value of God's word, awareness to the power of the tongue, awareness to the influence of others. Bad company corrupts good morals, 1 Corinthians 15:33, and iron sharpens iron in Proverbs 27, verse 17. Awareness to God's natural order in creation and life that he has set in place. Awareness of an eternal perspective that we as humans can have even while living a life that is temporary in a temporal world, still living with that eternal perspective. It gives us a need for self-control and so much more. But above all these things, wisdom brings awareness of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30, and because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus Christ is the perfect example of wisdom, and wisdom brings awareness to him. Wisdom also brings awareness to sin and to the consequences of sin. It brings awareness to the fact that we as God's creation have sinned, that we have disobeyed the laws he has set in place, betrayed our Creator, and the punishment of that is death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Wisdom leads us to Christ, the only one who can save us from that death. Because Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, came down to this earth, lived a life fully in wisdom, and then died on the cross. A death he did not deserve, but you and I did. And yet he rose again in newness of life. And through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we can have hope. Wisdom takes us to the cross. It takes us to our Lord and Savior. And so if you choose to live a wise life, there is only one place to turn, and that is to Jesus Christ. He is the one way, the one door to eternity and prosperity with God in eternal bliss and joy in heaven. This evening, if you want to begin living that life of wisdom, we are told in Scripture how to do so. To understand that we have sinned, that Jesus Christ has died on the cross, saved us from our sins, that he is the one true and living Son of God, and then we, in submission, are buried with him in baptism and rise again in newness of life. That is how we live a life of wisdom. Or tonight, if you have already chosen to live that life of wisdom, but have stumbled, as we all have, it's a hard life to live because we live in a world that does not live a wise life. We live in a foolish world. Living in wisdom in a foolish world is hard. But so much easier when we have brothers and sisters who are willing to pray for us, walk with us, be with us, and help us. So this evening, if you want to begin life anew through baptism or would like the prayers of the church, we would ask you to come to the front as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.